Welcome into K-State Online. I am Mason Voth. That is Drew Galloway. It is Wednesday, May 7th. More football to talk with you today. And unfortunately, it's not exciting football news or good football news because K-State, as some just continue to kind of expect, hey, it's the offseason. You're going to lose somebody unexpected. This is the second unexpected loss of the offseason for K-State. It initially started when Connor Riley bolted for the Dallas Cowboys offensive line job. No doubt a loss there. We could get into that a little bit more, you know, loss on the offensive line front. Some people could debate, but he's not your offensive coordinator anymore. Now Matt Wells gets to be that guy. Is that actually a good thing? You know, embrace debate. We'll talk about that sometime. Never probably. But K-State has now lost their strength and conditioning coach, Drew Carroll. He is off to USC, and K-State already has the replacement in line. Ray Thomas has been promoted to that role. You go and look at the path of all of this. Jermaine Carroll has had great success at K-State and has been a pretty large part of developing guys. Ray Thomas has been there for every step and has a history with Carroll dating all the way back to, I think, 2019. They started working together. So Thomas has been in connection with Carroll for a long time. And, you know, this isn't a good loss for K-State. You're not just like, oh, whatever. Like, this is something because Jermaine Carroll's gotten a lot of credit from Chris Klieman and a lot of other people inside of Veneer for the things that have taken place for K-State football over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. It's not great timing. Most people would assume, you know, it's off season, all that. So you're not going to have a bunch of, you know, actual like coaching going on and the strength and conditioning stuff, but most of the strength and conditioning stuff is actually already wrapped up. So like, you know, it's not the worst possible time. It's not great timing, but something like this never really is great timing. The good news for K-State is they had somebody in the fold that they felt comfortable promoting instantly. And I think that's the main takeaway here for what this loss means to K-State. It sucks, but I think you have a good plan in place already, obviously, with Ray Thomas getting promoted basically the second that it became public that Drew Carroll was leaving for USC.
Yeah, I on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say this is like probably like a 3.5 on the loss scale. Like, I think that it is a loss and it can be a big one, but K-State was very prepared with this. Like, Ray Thomas was promoted within minutes of the Pete Thamel tweet of Drew going to USC. So like, they had the plan in place. I would even venture to say that Ray Thomas was always going to be the next guy when Drew Carroll left, with how quickly this was announced by K-State to already have it done. And that's why I think that this is less of a loss than I think everybody kind of anticipated when they saw the news initially of Drew Carroll leaving. Is because it just seems like, and this is something where Chris Klieman is very good at having like steps in place for, oh, like we need somebody here. Like you need a tight ends coach. Oh, well, Brian Lepak, this isn't his natural position, but like he's too good to just be an analyst. Oh, we'll promote him to tight ends coach. Then you get him to his natural position at offensive line after Connor Riley leaves. Now you're kind of getting like that with Ray Thomas, of like Ray Thomas probably could have left for USC and been a part of Truman Carroll's staff, but he wanted to stay at K-State and wanted to be the guy at K-State instead of kind of hanging around True some more and being that associate title. Now he gets to do it all on his own. And with him having a prior experience with Carroll and at K-State and with Klieman, I can't anticipate a lot of changing. Like I would anticipate a lot of what Carroll brought into K-State, it's going to be the same for Ray Thomas. And from what I've heard in the early stages of what Ray Thomas will bring, it's all been positive. I mean, he was a part of the staff this offseason that had one of the biggest gains in K-State history. So I just don't anticipate a lot changing. And because of that, I don't think it's as big of a loss as I think that a lot of people would have probably anticipated beforehand.
Yeah. And it seems like the immediate thoughts that are coming out on this is that a lot of people excited about Ray Thomas, that they think that, you know, this is going to, you know, be a smooth transition. And that's kind of what you and I talked about beforehand, like, not to to discredit anything about this role or this position, but this isn't like, you know, losing Colin Klein and then, okay, we got to find somebody else and getting Connor Riley. And you can have pretty wildly different philosophies on that. You have, you know, thousands of plays that you have to come up with, like all this different stuff that's a little bit more intricate with the X's and O's side of running things. You get Ray Thomas to come in following True Carroll. What needs to change? Like, I'm sure there are little wrinkles that he'll have to put on it, but he just saw True Carroll be wildly successful with his plan, obviously, you know, in conjunction with him going back to 2019.
And I imagine that now with Thomas being the associate with Carroll beforehand, that they both really played a role in what they did.
And so it's one of those deals where, you know, if you're worried about it, like, it's as simple as I think he can just go, well, you know, it's whatever day it is at 6 a.m. We've got the guys in here. Last year, this time, they were doing 100 pushups. This year, this time, they're doing 100 pushups. You know, we're going to have them. They're going to lift this. They're going to run like that, like all this stuff. Like, I don't think that needs to change very much. So it's unfortunate because obviously True Carroll, very well thought of, has done a lot of good things. But when you turn around and look at it and can take a step back, the fact that K-State already had the plan in place and they were able to make that move is good. You know, I equated it to, if you go back to K-State basketball and when they lost their strength and conditioning coach on the basketball side, I know that was always talked about a lot at the time. They didn't have somebody that was there like immediately that could slide into that role or whatever. They had to kind of adjust and find somebody different, and the background wasn't necessarily the same there. So this is where I look at it and say it's a different deal than that. You're not having to go outside. You're not having to find somebody that's really changing what they've done. It's just, instead of being the number two, Ray Thomas is the number one now, and I think he's got a pretty good idea of how to run things.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And like we talked about, Indiana doing the same with their strength and conditioning coach and giving him like a raise to make him a top five strength and conditioning coach in the country. That is just kind of like the difference between the lower end, mid to lower end of the Big Ten, like the top end of Big 12 ACC, that Indiana can really afford to do that more than K-State can. And also at some point, like, I understand the strength conditioning coach is the one that's around the players more than anybody else. But at some point, I feel like you get to a certain salary threshold, and I'm like, is it really that much worth it when you have a guy that has kind of proven that he's ready? Because again, he was part of this plan during this extended offseason where K-State did a lot more strength and conditioning than normal. If you have a guy that's ready, why not just let him slide into the role? And you would assume that it's going to be pretty seamless because everybody inside of Veneer Complex knew who Ray Thomas was beforehand. Like, you're not having to go and introduce everybody and like bring in all new stuff in to K-State and kind of do what True Carroll did when he came into K-State of like bringing all these new ideas and new things in and having to introduce himself and get a lot more of the sports science stuff involved. Ray Thomas doesn't have to do really any of that. He can bring his own ideas at certain points, but a lot of what K-State has done, he has been a part of and knows what to do and knows everybody else that's in there and can always ask Chris Klieman about like, hey, like, what do you think about this as an idea? So like, I don't see how anything really changes or gets like significantly worse going forward.
Yeah, it's notable, and you know we'll obviously probably see or hear things that give us indication one way or the other on maybe things that are different in a good way or a bad way. But I don't think it's anything to melt down about. That I think that was the initial reaction on KSO when the Thamel report came across that hey, True Carroll's going to USC. And it's like, oh great, what's K-State going to do? And then a couple minutes later, it's like they already have the promotion in mind. He's already been in the program. He's been with True Carroll even longer. Like, there's a clear-cut plan here. Because, like, again, I'll go back to the men's basketball thing when that switch happened and Ben O'Donnell left. That was one of those where they didn't have, obviously, somebody directly in their program that was ready to go because, you know, basketball resources just aren't going to be there. And what they did was they basically went and plucked A.J. Kloss, who's been essentially involved with a bunch of different teams in K-State athletics. Like, so it's not a like anything negative towards him, but it's one of those where you look at it and say, okay, they had to go and get somebody that like, this wasn't his singular focus. Like, he was with the women's team. He went to men's basketball. He's still with K-State athletics. Like, he's in charge of strength for the baseball team right now. Like, but it just doesn't jive there where you're moving guys around and everything like that. This is a clear cut. This is our guy. We had him. We're ready to go. He already knows the expectation and how to run all this. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about it. And the other thing that I'll add on this is because you bring up the Indiana situation, USC was looking at trying to get Indiana's strength and conditioning coach. Indiana decided to pony up the money to make him a top five paid strength and conditioning coach in the country to keep him in Indiana and prevent him from going to USC. And that's one of those where good for Indiana in this situation. Like, is that really where you want to divert the resources? If you're a Big 12 or an ACC school, probably not. And that's obviously what we're seeing with K-State. But this does highlight the difference that there is now that even the low tier Big Ten and SEC teams are going to have is that when they have somebody good, they're going to have the money to pony up and keep somebody now. And that's where you're going to see just another little check mark in the divide that's taking place between these programs.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The other thing that I'll add with this is that this is like the most K-State football under Chris Klieman thing that could like ever happen. Like they're so calculated and are always thinking forward so much that like it isn't surprising, but also like kind of was like a of course they already have somebody like hired when the news broke, because yeah, again, just thinking about like the steps that have been calculated, I already highlighted on Brian Lepak and his path. Well, Matt Wells was hired with the intention of if Connor Riley ever left for any sort of job, that he would take the offensive coordinator job. So everything just is so calculated, and they're just such a machine. I joke about it with some of my friends when they that are fans of other schools. Like, they ask me, like, so what's K-State football like when you're just on, like, the reporter side and trying to figure things out? And I always say, oh, it's boring in a good way because they're so calculated that they know everything that they want to do and do it well. Like it's just not a surprise when you see somebody with Ray Thomas already being hired because they already had this plan in place for probably over a year and a half.
Yeah. I mean, think about with some of these roles, OC, DC, and then strength and conditioning, like, they haven't had to go outside of the program to hire a replacement since Ted Monachino left a week into the job. And then they had to, you know, pony up for Scotty Hazleton. But after Scotty Hazleton left, then it was, hey, Joe Klanderman's here. Courtney Messingham, boo, see you later. Nice try with the Wildcat against Texas. And Colin Klein was already on the staff. And then Colin Klein leaves for Texas A&M. Connor Riley already on the staff. And then just like you laid out, Connor Riley gone, Matt Wells already in the building doing other things. And you trust and you feel like you got the right move. And I think, you know, on the Klanderman front, I think it's worked out better than not. I know some people would probably, you know, argue on that because, you know, you love to hate coordinators. I don't know. I'm a little biased. I've been a Klandy guy since day one. But you look at the others, like it's worked out for the most part. Colin Klein, it worked out just fine. Connor Riley, yeah, I know some mixed results there last year for people. I think it was going to be okay. And I think a lot of people are excited about how it's working out with Matt Wells over the course of the next year. We'll see how it looks in game. But same type of deal here with Carroll to Thomas.
And you could go a step further. There's probably not an obvious candidate on the defensive side, but like if Matt Wells were to be hired away after this upcoming season, you would kind of assume that Brian Lepak would step in.
Yeah, I think that's the logical next step. He keeps moving up. Okay. They obviously seem to like him, and you know, it really, I think for like the last 3 years now, it's been a pretty concentrated effort to make sure that you make Brian Lepak know how important he is and that you want to keep him in Manhattan.
Yeah, I mean they are so calculated with everything. I will trust them until they really prove why we shouldn't trust them, but I don't see that happening in the foreseeable future.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you want to see either really strong Cats or really weak Cats now, you can go to Dublin, Ireland on August 23rd, 2025. You'll actually go a little bit earlier than that. That way you make it in time for kickoff of the 2025 Aer Lingus College Football Classic. If you want to get travel, hospitality, game tickets, go to cats2ireland.com right now. They'll get you hooked up. We went over it yesterday. Some of the great packages that are out there starting to go away. Only a couple left in some situations. So you instead of, you know, the 8-day trip, might have to suck it up. You might only be there for 6 if you don't jump on things now.
Yeah, so get to Galway on that trip. Get to see Moby's hometown. Also an Ed Sheeran song about Galway.
Big blind spot for me on Ed Sheeran. Somehow
that is not surprising at all.
That's just one of those that I know he's the redheaded dude with glasses, but it's like Ed Sheeran song comes on. That's an auto. We got to change the radio dial somewhere. But also I know that a lot of people look down on me because I'm still like a legit radio guy. So I only listen to what's on the radio.
That's wild.
Unless it's a long drive, then I'll turn a podcast on my phone. But if it's, you know, anywhere under 45 minutes, it's just whatever's on the radio for me. Sports talk, which whatever station, you know, I has something good on at the time, or all the different musical presets that I have in my car. So here's a good question for you, Drew. As a Topekan growing up, what were the top three radio presets in your car when you would drive around?
580, because they had sports talk.
Okay, yeah.
And then 610 and 810, because I would still get the Kansas City stations.
Oh, yeah. So blessed up there. So blessed up there. Meanwhile, I'm slumming it, driving between Bueller and Hutch every day after school, and I may be lucky if I can get a good signal for KFH in Wichita. And that was back when it was a brutal listen in the afternoon with, you know, a father and son duo that I think hated each other sometimes. I don't know. It was a heartwarming tale to listen to that sometimes. But for me growing up, it's like, I'm trying to think what it would have been then. Here's a fun fact though. You know, you can have one preset and two preset in some cars. So it's instead of like having 10, you got 20 essentially. My FM1 is still all the presets for Manhattan. FM2 is all the ones for Wichita/Hutch. So yeah, still holding out hope that one day I can always permanently be back on those FM1 presets. But I would say growing up, it was 97.5, which is KFH. Although it would have been a different one back then because they switched like which frequency they were on. So I had that one on there. And then would have been, let's see, 95.9. That was oldies in Hutch, because that was the station that all of the Bueller games were broadcast on. And then I also like older music. And then it would have been probably like 96.3, because that would have been what all the K-State games were on in Hutch. So then you go to AM, I would have had KWBW on there, where Hutchinson comes to talk, as Denny Matthews would always say on the IDs during Royals games, since they had the Royals. Still very reliable. And I would also, you brought up WIBW. Shout out to WIBW Radio, because I have to use 580 down in Wichita numerous times throughout baseball season to listen to the Royals, because the Royals affiliate down here, it, number one, is not playing the pregame show ever. And then number two, it's like, oh, great. Freaking Wichita State baseball on right now. I don't want to hear the Shockers lose their 12th straight American Athletic Conference game. None of that has anything to do with cats2ireland.com. So if you want us to quit going off on these tangents, go to cats2ireland.com, buy every ticket, every package, every airplane ticket if you want. You know, a little extra leg room right there. You just buy out like a whole section of an international flight. Hey, you know what? If you've got that kind of money, you've got USC True Carroll money, boom, go for it. Make it happen. But cats2ireland.com, it'll get you over there for the 2025 Aer Lingus College Football Classic. It'll be the first chance we get to see the newly strengthened K-State football team as Ray Thomas takes over for True Carroll. That'll do it for us today. We've got a recruiting update coming your way tomorrow, and then Friday, the much-anticipated debut of ranking every K-State quarterback since 2006, the last 20 seasons of K-State football. If they threw a pass in a game, we're ranking
them. We got them ranked.
We got them ranked. It's been fun going through. I've got the write-ups going, so like the story that will accompany also the video. I think it'll come out tomorrow or Friday. You'll have that to go off of. It's exhilarating stuff. I think, honestly, it's more fun to go through and do it for the guys that were in like the bottom half of the rankings because they're a little bit more obscure.
The where are they now portion of the bottom elite by you.
I'm trying to do my due diligence on some of these guys, or at least I want to give some backstory because there are going to be some guys that pop up and people are going to go, really? Who's this guy? What? Why don't I remember him? What are they doing?
We're going to need like a missing persons report on one of the people because I can't find him anywhere.
Well, so here's the deal. I will give this little nugget. I think the five players in the bottom five of this list, if they went on to transfer and play somewhere else, they never actually attempted a pass at their new school. All these guys, I went and looked, and it's like, oh, he ended up here, he ended up there. They didn't even throw a pass, though. So it's going to be a fun little series. We're going to do that all throughout the month of May, and then we'll have more on the horizon. So some solid off-season content coming your way at KSO. But plenty of important content over there as well. Drew has recruiting updates. DY's got a ton of different thoughts on K-State finishing up spring ball. What's going on in all the different positions. One yesterday about wide receivers, tight ends, and offensive line, since those are pretty crowded rooms, but we'll see just how good the options ultimately end up being. So go check it all out. KStateOnline.com, best place for you to get your K-State information. And, sometime in the near future, you're going to get even more information throughout college football with the merger with Rivals that On3 is engaged in right now. So we're only going to get bigger and better at KSO and On3. So good time to sign up now. It'd be like getting in on the ground floor of something good, you know. Prices are only going to go up on this thing, philosophically speaking, not actually. No idea on that. If I controlled that, what is it? There used to be a game growing up. Well, I guess 2K still lets you do it where you could go in and like amend the prices of like jersey sales and like concessions in your franchise mode. And I was one of those, I was not Arthur Blank in the Falcons where it's like, we're just going to make it really affordable at the concession stands for everybody. I was like, parking. I think I would actually make tickets cheap and parking really expensive. You know, that's where they get you the hidden costs. So it's like, you can get a $10 ticket, but you're paying $90 for parking tonight. So
it's also $1 for your first week at KSO right now.
There you go. Not something that I would do. I would, I probably would bury something good up front and then give you a big old number back there. So that's why I'm not in charge. So I would leave it to DY and above him, all the powers to be at On3. We're just here to bring you content. We'll get out of here and talk to everybody again tomorrow with a recruiting update from Drew.